ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
If you're all set and ready, you know what? So am I.
The Mighty Challenge.
Yes, 25 questions in five categories. Robin says, I don't know what it's like where you are, but it's cold here, 3 degrees. Has to be snowing somewhere. Where are you, Robin? Does she don't say? Hope Albo's listening, says someone. Of course he does. We used to have Barnaby Joyce listening. Remember Barnaby rang the program one night? He did. Hasn't rung for a while. 1-300-800-222 is the number. All right, 25 questions in five categories. If you can answer question 25, then you'll be a winner. Our categories tonight are category number one, drugs. Category number two, soft drinks. Category number three, art galleries and museums. Category number three, Australian wildlife. Category number five, Australian wildlife was category number four. Category number five, black and white. All right, so drugs, soft drinks, art galleries and museums, Australian wildlife, black and white. Well, that's a reasonable selection, I would have thought. Anne from Caulfield's going to kick us off. Hello, Anne.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. You know, I'm good. Very, very well. Now, your motor stalled on the starting line last night, Anne, but anyway.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen again today.
In the annual Billy Cart Derby, you couldn't get a push-off, but anyway, let's see how we go.
I managed to go reverse.
What are we like? Drugs, soft drinks, art galleries and museums, black and white, Australian wildlife.
Well, I barracked for Collingwood, so let's go black and white.
Oh, dear. Poor you. Poor you. Poor you. A black and white. All right. The question number one. The adjective meline refers to which burrow-dwelling omnivores?
I'm thinking in terms of possibly a rabbit. I'm not sure, but I don't know.
We're in a category called black and white.
It might be a skunk, but I don't think they're omnivores. You know what? I'll say skunk because otherwise it's going to go another half hour discussion.
And it's not a skunk.
maybe next week. Give me a bit of a thrill. Let me get a question.
And as you know, you are a very good player, and you are one of the solid players of the Mighty Challenge. So we know that. So, but
that's not helping.
Don Bradman, even Don Bradman made a duck. All right, so don't.
You know, I don't feel so bad now.
See you, Anne.
See you. Bye.
Yes. Kath says in the Barossa, the temperature's 3.2 and it feels like 0.6, enough to freeze the ... monkey. Yes, well, I get what you're saying, Kath. Fair enough, too. Stewie from Victor Harbour is next up. Stuart, good evening to you.
Hello, Phil. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Oh, thanks, Anne.
Cold down there at Victor?
Oh, that's not too bad, Phil. You know, near the coast, it's not as bad.
Yeah, that's true. You're right on the coast there.
About 10 degrees, or I reckon, 10 or 11 maybe.
Oh, toasty warm. Yeah, no
worries. Yeah, that's right. I'm laying in a bed. It's quite comfortable. I used to live in Ballarat in the late 80s.
Cold.
It got pretty cool, yeah.
Well, those inland towns, you know, like being the very charming and blah, 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 but during the winter, very cold.
Yeah, you know, it is. It's a really nice country around there, but it is. Yeah. I mean, it's a great place, Ballarat. And Bendigo, I really like Bendigo too. It's such a nice country around there. Some interesting places with the old, you know, with the gold rush and everything.
What I think, Stewie, is there must still be nuggets there.
Oh, there's got to be heaps of them, Phil.
You know, like there must be.
Well, there's a big area, Phil. It's Malden and everything. It's just Castlemaine. It's just I'm sure.
I mean, there must be. I'm not saying there's a welcome stranger there.
Oh, I reckon there might be.
But you never.
Still. Yeah. Sorry.
No, no. You and I both. But the trouble is, we've reached that stage in life, Stewie. I don't know whether we're going to go and prospect, are we?
Well, I'm definitely not. I'd be pretty. I went for a walk down the town the other day, and I was walking along with this white stick across the road, and I got a bit. And the bloke thought I was sweeping the road. But there's e-bikes and electric cars. You can be careful. They're so quiet.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
But anyway, going for gold, $4,000 an ounce for each. If you were young and you had some time or you had a hobby, that would be worthwhile to do it.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, that's right. I mean, I know people do it. I've done a story on prospecting. I mean, people do it.
You ever tried it?
No. I've never tried it. I don't. I mean, the only reason is because I've got no idea what I'm looking at.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah,
it's good. I think I know a few people around here. There's a hobby. They get old things, old coins and things.
They go around with those metal detectors.
Yeah, they find old coins and go around the old town, ex towns, old sort of mining sites.
You see, Stewie, if I did it, I reckon I'd be the one with. I'd like to do it with a pick and shovel. You know.
Yeah,
dig a hole.
Well, they do. That's what he does do that. He's dug down to about 2 feet. He finds a nail or something. He says,
"Oh dear." Anyway, look, we better kick on. Question number one: black and white. The adjective meline refers to which burrow-dwelling omnivores?
I wouldn't have a clue. So I'll try a black mole. Is there such a thing?
You're just making it black and white.
Oh, yeah, I am. Yeah. A black hole, maybe.
We're in a black and white category called black and white. It's not a mole.
Yeah, okay, mate.
No, thanks, mate. Yeah. Bye-bye. Have you been a prospector, you might like to tell me about it a bit later on in issues of the day. Jake from Ballarat. Hello from Ballarat. Very cold here. Not just tonight either. I grew up in the Golden Triangle. There is definitely still decent-sized nuggets about, says Jake. Are you just saying that, Jake, because you believe that, or are you telling us, Jake, just on the down low, that there might be a nugget or two in Jake's cupboard? Maybe. Well, I mean, I think it's just common sense, isn't it? There has to be, surely. 1-300-800-222. Sharon says, what are you saying, gents? It's a balmy 8 degrees at the moment in our Indian Spring in Ballarat right now. Oh, okay. Jake doesn't agree. He says it's really cold. Ray in the Bay. I dug an 8-foot hole in the backyard today, Phil, and I learned not to go metal detecting in steel cap boots. No, that's fair enough. All righty. I mean, I never have prospected, so I'm talking through my hat. Adam from Hobart Town. G'day, Adam.
Good evening, Phil.
Ever been prospecting, Adam?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You ever find anything?
Yeah.
Oh. Don't want to say too much, eh?
Oh, well, you know what it's like, yeah.
Yeah, well, because you got to get the – well, that's right. You got to make sure you get the gold onto the stagecoach, Adam, because, you know. Otherwise, you might get bailed up. Hey, come on, tell me. Question one. We're in a category called black and white. The adjective meline refers to which burrow-dwelling omnivore?
Yeah, and black and white, I can't think of any burrowing black and white nor black and white creatures. I'm at a loss. I'll have a wild guess and say the Tasmanian burrowing crayfish.
There is such a creature, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Yeah. No, I'm with you, Adam. Unfortunately, I don't think it's black and white. But thank you anyway. See ya.
Thank you.
Bye. There is such a thing. Scott from Blacktown. Hi, Scott.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Very well. Question one. We're yet to get off the mark here. Black and white. The adjective meline refers to which burrow-dwelling omnivore?
The black and white thing, the only thing I can think of is a badger.
Correct. So, correct. Yeah. That's exactly right. It's a badger. A badger is black and white. And if you're referring to your friend of yours who looks like a badger, you'd say he has a rather meline appearance. And he'll say, what are you talking about?
I know a few of them. They call them badgers. There's another word.
No. Question number two. We're in black and white. You can move.
What were the other categories again?
Australian wildlife, drugs, soft drinks, art galleries and museums.
I'll go Australian wildlife, please.
Okay, Australian wildlife. It is. Dave of Sonano says, I grew up in Millbrook near Ballarat and I used to defend its weather. Since moving to Sonano, I wonder why I ever did. Dave reckons he's had a bit of limited success gold panning. Okay. All right, Australian wildlife.
Oh, speaking of gold panning, yes. A couple of mates of mine, they've been going out and doing a bit of prospecting.
Oh, yeah.
And they're finding gold, but only little, small, nothing spectacular, but they're finding a lot of real fine stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a trouble. It's that fine. And it's like metallic in your paint. They can't separate it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there must be some way to do it.
They haven't separated it. They haven't thrown it out. It's like, they've got to work out. Mercury. Anyway, that's another. Mercury, get it, but then you've got to remove from mercury.
Yeah. There must be some way of doing it, Scott. Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's a question for the listeners.
Yeah.
The panel.
Right. How do you separate fine gold dust out of your gold pan?
Without using mercury and dying.
Yeah. Also, the cost of a mercury is probably more expensive than the gold you got in the pan. Hey, question number two. You want Australian wildlife?
Yes, please.
Which endangered marsupials belong to the genus Macrotis, which means big-eared?
The bilby.
Correct. Very good.
I'm a roll, eh?
Yeah, you are. Badgers, bilbies. There's no holding you back, Scott.
They're the same. They're all bees. There's a bee.
Question number three.
Does the answer start with B?
I don't answer questions, Bill. Scott, as you know.
No, I got carried away, but yeah.
Australian wildlife, you want to stay here?
Yes, please.
Which children's character made his debut in the 1933 book Jacko the Broadcasting Kookaburra?
You got me there. Stump. Yep. Rolls come to a brutal end.
It's been fun, Scott. See ya.
No worries. Have a good one.
Sorry, mate. Bye-bye. Monty is in Perth. Hello, Monty.
Mr. Clark, how are you going?
Oh, good. I'm good, Monty. What's that?
Okay. I won't even waste your time. I have no idea about that answer.
No good.
I'll tell you something. Just let me tell you, Perth had the hottest temperature for July for 33 years.
How hot was
25 something degrees.
Oh, wow.
It almost reached the top maximum temperature recorded in 1976. So there's another good reason why you should live in Perth.
Well, there's a million reasons why you should live in Perth, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not sitting here in 3 degrees. I've got no air count going. No heating, everything. I feel like I'm in the Caribbean.
On your body. Yep. Look, I mean, Perth has a brilliant temperature, a brilliant climate, as we know, that famed Mediterranean climate. Mind you, it can get a bit dry sometimes, Monty.
We have taps. You turn them on, you drink.
Question number three, Australian wildlife. Which children's character made his debut in the 1933 book Jacko the Broadcasting Kookaburra? You're still with us? No, he's disappeared. Oh, I don't know what happened to him. He was there. And then he wasn't. Helen in South Melbourne. Hello, Helen.
Hello, Philip. How are you?
Oh, I'm very, very well. Yes, no, very, very well. There can't know much point in prospecting in South Melbourne, I suppose.
Well, I do what I call suburban prospecting.
Oh, yeah.
You go through the
bins.
In a pocket. And then sometime much later, I find it, and it's fabulous.
That's true. That's good. I love that. I love it with winter, and you put on the old winter coat that you haven't worn for a year or two, and inside the pocket, yay!
So good.
I know. Yes. It's so good.
A very quick question. Did Pav actually leave, not long service leave?
I've no idea, Ellen.
Oh, it's just that I thought he said long service leave.
Oh, maybe he is.
But his last night he was so upset, so I didn't know whether I was waiting pathetically or not.
Oh, no, well, I have no information to bring to bear, Helen.
Right.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, back to the creatures.
Question three, Australian wildlife. Which children's character made his debut in the 1933 book Jacko, the Broadcasting Kookaburra?
I think it just must be Mark Jackson, the foolish fool forward.
No, it's not. This is in 1933. No, it's not.
Goodbye.
See you, Helen. Bye-bye. No, it's not. Oh, dear. Now, who's been hanging on here? Sorry. Paul from Geelong. G'day, Paul.
Hey, how are you, Phil?
Pretty good, mate. Yes, we're up to question three, Australian wildlife. Which children's character made his debut in the 1933 book Jacko the Broadcasting Kookaburra?
Just repeat the question for me, please, Phil.
Which children's character made his debut in the 1933 book Jacko the Broadcasting Kookaburra? And we're in a category called Australian wildlife.
I'll just go Cooker.
Not Cooker. No. Sorry, mate. Thank you. Bye. What, I don't know what Jacko was doing broadcasting in 1933. There wasn't much broadcasting around then. I mean, it had just begun. Maybe that was the point. Hmm? Where are we? Mick from Bamboka. G'day, Mick.
Hey, Philip.
Which children's character made his debut in the 1933 book Jacko the Broadcasting Kookaburra?
I do not know.
No worries.
I'm going to guess Skippy, but I reckon it's way too early.
Not Skippy. No, not Skippy. Sorry, no. Thank you. 1933 is a bit early. Tara will know this because Tara knows a lot of things sitting there in the truck.
How are you, Phil?
I'm pretty good, Tara, yes. I'm relying on you for moments like these. Which children's character made his debut in the 1933 book Jacko the Broadcasting Kookaburra?
The only thing I can think of is Blinky Bill.
Correct. See, I knew you would know. Very good. I knew Tara would know this. Blinky Bill, yes, as I say.
I wasn't sure if it was too early or not, but I couldn't think of anything else.
Oh, no, yeah, well, that's about right for Blinky Bill, 1930s, yeah, that's about right. Margaret in Canberra had this on the text. A lot of people did. Rosa down in the corner had a Barb from Ringwood East, Vicky from Maddington, good on you, all had a Blinky Bill. All right, Tara, thanks for helping us out. Question four. We're in Australian wildlife. You've got a choice of any category you like, black and white, drugs, soft drinks, art galleries and museums.
I will stay with Australian wildlife and see how we go.
Australian wildlife. In which year, did the last Tasmanian tiger, the thylacine, die? I'll give it to you plus or minus two.
Okay.
In which year did the last Tasmanian tiger, or the thylacine, die?
Now, I'm not sure. Was that the 70s or the 80s? I'll just have 70s or 80s. I'll have a go at 82.
Tara? You're good on Blinky Bill, no good on the thylacine. That's miles. That is miles out.
Oh, well, at least it might have helped someone.
Of course it does. See ya. Bye.
Thanks, Phil.
Bye. Yes, Tara's in the truck, keeping the country moving. Hey, Roz from Strathalbyn. G'day, Roz.
Oh, actually, my grandmother saw this in Melbourne Zoo.
In which year did the last Tasmanian
tiger... 1936. Yes, she saw it. I've got a picture, actually.
It is. You're quite right, 1936. There's some film of it too, isn't there? A very, very sad film.
Yeah, I've seen the film, but I've actually got an old sepia picture of it.
Oh, okay. Well, it was taken by your grandmother?
Yes.
How about that? Wow. How old was she at the time?
Well, she was born in 1900, so 36.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that because Anne Boleyn, anyway, That was 1436.
I was going to say. Anne Boleyn. Anne Boleyn keep a pet thylacine or something?
No, I've got a thing about dates.
Oh, I see. Okay.
One of those stupid people.
Roz, nobody on the nightlife is ever stupid. That's the one constant. It's fair to say there is a bit of tin hat wearing on nightlife, but that's okay.
Hey, I've run out of alfoil, so I'm in trouble.
Question five. We're in Australian wildlife. Do you want to stay there or you can move?
What do we have?
Black and white, soft drinks, drugs, art galleries and museums.
Oh, I like wildlife, but I'll go soft drinks.
Soft drinks, okay. Question number five. Oh, that's a lovely story. My mum, says my texter, my mum once read Blinky Bill to me over the phone on a sleepover when I was crying and homesick. I woke up with the phone off the hook and on my face in the morning. It worked a treat. Oh,
isn't that lovely? Hey, my kids... they did a remake, I think it was in the A, Blinky Bill. It was a cartoon, and they absolutely adored it. Yeah. And they had, the mayor, I think he was a wombat. Yeah, and it was very, very good Australian anime.
Hmm. Yep, Maria from Adelaide, you're quite right about that. The thylacine would not have been in the Melbourne Zoo. It was in a zoo in Tasmania. You're quite right. Thanks, Maria.
Tell me she saw it in Melbourne.
No, she wouldn't have. She couldn't. Well, she might have. I mean, there might have been one in Melbourne, but it wasn't the one in 1936 that died. No.
Damn, she's dead. I can't question her.
Go, next time you're putting flowers on the grave, you ask her, Ross. Hey, question number five.
I really believe that, you know.
No, it was in a Hobart Zoo that the last thylacine passed away. The last thylacine died. Come on. Soft drinks. Created by two brothers in Tennessee to mix with whiskey. Which soft drinks named after a slang term for moonshine?
Slang term for moonshine is soft drink. Coke?
Not Coke, no. Sorry, Ross.
Sorry, I was just trying to think of Coca-Cola.
That's all right. See ya. Bye-bye. No, that is not correct. Angela in Tamworth. Hi, Angela.
Hi, how are you?
I'm tip-top, I reckon.
That's good.
Question five, soft drinks, created by two brothers in Tennessee to mix with whiskey. Which soft drink is named after a slang term for moonshine?
I've got no idea. I've known every other answer up until now. I'm going to say mixing with whiskey, Pepsi.
Not Pepsi. Sorry, Ange. No, thanks, mate. Bye. Thank you, Susan in Hobart. Yes, the last Tasmanian tiger died at Beaumaris Zoo in Hobart in 1936. It did. There's a very, very sad piece of film of the poor animal just, you know, wandering around. It's pretty drab enclosure, pretty grim enclosure. Just terrible if you're reflecting on what's going on there. All righty, where are we? Andy from Bateman's Bay. G'day, Andy.
Yeah, g'day. Plus for gardening. Apparently somebody pulled up some broccoli a while back and there was a nugget attached to the roots.
Oh, what? Whereabouts? In Bateman's Bay?
Oh, in Bateman's Bay, where I am, there's a reef under, but it's under the water.
Oh, is that right? A gold reef. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and it's an old gold mine on the beach itself.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, actually, there's quite a bit of gold mining around that there, isn't there? Part of New South Wales. Question number five, soft drinks. Created by two brothers in Tennessee to mix with whiskey. Which soft drinks named after a slang term for moonshine?
That's the only thing that springs to mind that's American is sarsaparilla.
Not sarsaparilla, Andy. Sorry, man. Thank you, man. Bye-bye. No, not sars. Not sars. Jason in Morwell. Hello, Jason. G'day, Jason. Hello.
Hello.
Created by two brothers in Tennessee, Jason, to mix with whiskey. Yep. Which soft drinks named after a slang term for moonshine?
Ginger ale.
Not ginger ale, no. Sorry, not ginger ale. Jamie from Midland in WA. G'day, Jamie.
Yeah, g'day. How you going?
Pretty good. What are we after here? Created by two brothers in Tennessee to mix with whiskey, which soft drink's named after a slang term for moonshine?
I'm going to guess Mountain Dew.
Correct. Yes, that's the one. Hooray! Mountain Dew. Don't mind some of that Mountain Dew.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. Question number six. I wonder if you went to Tennessee and did that in a bar, whether you'd, you know...
get lynched.
Whether you'd ever make it home again. Give me some of that Mountain Dew. Yeehaw. Hey, bartender, barkeep, I want some of that Mountain Dew. Question number six. Okay, we're in soft drinks. What do you want to do?
Look, I'll stay there just to help out. Why not?
Okay. Well, no, but you can move anywhere else you like.
No, I'll stay there.
Soft drinks. Schweppes was originally founded in which country?
Schweppes. Austria?
Not Austria. No.
I'm out. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Bye-bye. No, it's not Austria. Alrighty. Kingsley's in Adelaide. Hello, Kingsley.
Hi, Philip. I've known every question so far.
Oh, no.
I bet you'll get this one wrong.
Well, hang on. You've been helped. I mean, Schweppes was originally founded in which country? It's not Austria.
Well, you've just given me a hint, and now it's gone against what I was going to say.
Did I give you a hint? I don't believe so.
No, I'm going to stick with what I was going to say. Australia.
No, it's not.
Thanks. I've got wrong.
Thanks, Kingsley. Bye bye. No, that's not correct. Rachel from Kilmore. Hi, Rach.
Hi there. It's not Switzerland, is it?
It is correct. Okay. Very good. Schweppes was originally founded in Switzerland. Schweppes. I've no idea why, but there you go. Question number seven. We're in soft drinks, but you can move to drugs or art galleries or black and white or Australian wildlife.
Try black and white.
Back to black and whites. Okay. Question number seven. Ebony and Ivory was a 1982 hit for Paul McCartney. And which other American singer?
Oh gosh. He did a couple of duos. Was it Michael Jackson?
No, it wasn't Michael Jackson. Sorry, Rach.
The other one.
See ya. Bye-bye. No, it wasn't Michael Jackson. What about Simon in Adelaide? G'day, Simon.
G'day, Phil. How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, not bad.
Haven't spoken to you for a while, actually.
Have you been all right?
Yeah, been all right. I'm just in the truck in the Riverland and it's currently 2 degrees.
What's on the back of the truck, Simon?
Oh, we just got general freight going up through the Riverland.
Okay. Yeah.
And, well, I'll be getting out in about a couple of minutes. And, only 2 degrees out there unloading the truck.
I love general freight. There'll be things like, a bumper bar for a Toyota Ute. There'll be a box of, several boxes of toilet paper.
I've got anything from flour to tires
to engines
to everything on there.
Yeah. Hey, mate, your new diff's arrived. It's come in on the general freight.
That's what people don't understand. Like the overnight freight that we deliver.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna get it like tomorrow. They'll get it.
Yeah. Exactly. But do you carry all the? What about all the online shopping, Simon? Is any of that on your back?
Yeah. Yeah, we got all the Amazon stuff and all the parcels.
Yeah, all right, that's all on the back of the truck too. Okay.
Yeah, Australia Post, everything, just anything general.
I love general freight, yeah.
Even though I haven't called you for a while, I hear these old callers that I used to hear, like Ann from Caulfield and Stewie from Victor Harbour and... I like Ann from Caulfield because she's a Collingwood supporter, you see.
That's pathetic, Simon. Simon, that's pathetic.
I'll
tell you the toothbrush joke if you continue on like that, Simon. Question seven. Ebony and Ivory was the 1982 hit for Paul McCartney and which American singer?
Look, I've known all the other questions, but this one's just stumped me, so we'll just move on from that and catch up with you next week, Phil.
Thanks, Simon. Good on you for what you do, mate. Thank you. Bye.
No worries. Thanks, mate.
Bye bye. Yeah, General Freight. That's it. As the country gets, that's it keeps the wheels turning. Laurie from Burton's Lookout. G'day, Laurie.
Good evening. Look, I was going to say Michael Jackson too, but didn't he sing it together with Paul McCartney at one stage?
Ebony and Ivory was a 1982 hit for Paul McCartney and which American singer?
Yeah, trying to think who else sang it. But listen, remember I said to you about having a Bradbury Award, like a magnet?
Yeah.
And did you put it to the committee of listeners?
It went to the committee. And the
committee of listeners?
Oh, there's no committee of listeners, Laurie. What do you think this is? Some sort of nascent democracy or something? No. It went to the committee, Laurie. That is, I put it on one side of the desk and then I had a committee meeting on the other side of the desk and it didn't get up.
Oh,
I know. There was a lot of argument in the committee.
I reckon with his mush on the magnet would have been.
Yeah, I know. The minutes just record. And that was it. Yeah. Hey, question number seven. We're in black and white. Ebony and Ivory was a 1982 hit for Paul McCartney and which American singer?
To be honest, I can't think. I knew most of the other questions. I rang up for Blinky Bill, and I knew practically every answer after that until now.
Mm.
So. Hopefully someone else gets it.
Okay. Thanks, Laurie. See ya. Prospecting, yes. We've got to wait for them. Gold, so my texter says, gold prospectors like collecting nice old Schweppes bottles as a side to finding gold. You could buy a bottle of Schweppes in the 1800s in Australia. Is that right? Some people collect them. And they're similar to bottles that you can still buy today. Well, I suppose they're worth things, are they? Yes, all right. Jenny from Denniston says, your caller has an old photo of a thylacine. It might have been correct when she said it was snapped at Melbourne Zoo by her grandmother. I didn't say there wasn't one, but there may have been, but the last one died in by Morris Zoo in Tassie. Jenny says, yes, the Melbourne Zoo lost their last thylacine in 1930 in Melbourne Zoo. So your caller's grandmother may well have snapped her photo there. That's probably what happened, I suppose. Yeah, that's probably what happened. All right, Andrew from Smithton. Hello.
G'day, Cobber. How are you going?
Pretty good. Question seven. Ebony and Ivory was a 1982 hit for Paul McCartney and which American singer?
Well, I can't see you, but I've got to say that I'm original Tarkine Torriga. From the protest back in the 1990s.
Well, anybody who wants to save the Tarkines has got plenty of friends in nightlife, Andrew.
Yes, rightio. I've got a Tarkine Tiger tattoo on my right arm.
Well, I don't believe there is a tiger out there, Andrew, but if it is, it could easily be in the Tarkine.
Yeah, I'm not sure there is.
I don't think it was either.
I am a Tarkine Tiger.
Good on you.
And I have the stripes tattooed on my right arm.
Good on you.
Yeah. I can't see you, but I think it's Stevie Wonder that is the answer to the question.
Correct. It is. It is Stevie Wonder. All right, question number eight. We're in black and white, but you can move if you like, Andrew.
I love Collingwood, but what are the other?
Australian wildlife, drugs, soft drinks, art galleries and museums.
Drugs, please.
Drugs it is. Question number eight. Which English actor played drug kingpin Stringer Bell in the series The Wire?
Idris Elba.
Correct. It was Idris Elba. Very good. Question number 9. We're in drugs.
Yep, can't do that.
By what three-letter name is lysergic acid diethylamide more commonly known?
LSD.
Correct. LSD, yes.
I enjoyed it at times.
Was that probably a while ago, was it?
Oh, many years ago.
Yeah, okay. Timothy O'Leary was the great promoter, wasn't he?
Drop out of college. Drop out of graduate school. Drop out of junior executive. Drop out of senior executive. Turn on, tune in, drop out.
Yes, turn on, tune in, drop out, Timothy O'Leary.
Mark II Ultra, the CIA uses it as well.
Yeah. Question number 10. Andrew?
Yep.
We're in drugs.
Yep.
Drugs such as Claritin work by reducing the effects of which natural chemical in the body?
That'd have to be dopamine.
No, not dopamine. Sorry, mate. Oh,
failed miserably. So,
thanks. You did not fail miserably. Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate the effort. Very good. Joey from Coffs Harbour. Hi, Joey.
Love your show, Phil, and listening to the Nightlife family. So
they're all a good. Yeah. They're all a good crew, Joey, of all sizes all and stripes.
Yes. So before I have an attempt. I just want to say when you were talking about the weather earlier, about how when it's cold and how it feels, where are all these people who are saying, oh, it feels like 6 degrees? I'm like, hang on, the thermometer says 8, but it feels like 6. Where are those people standing?
Well, the feels like thing's real, though, you know, like, because the thermometer is, the thermometer sometimes in a little porch, you know, and if you're standing out in the middle of the road, in the middle of the backyard with a cold, biting wind, Joey.
Yeah.
Hey, question number 10. Oh, Dave, by the way, Dave from Sonano says, while not a thylacine nor Australian, do you know that Sonano is the only fire brigade in Australia to ever ring its bell to alert the community of an escaped puma from a visiting circus in 1924. Thank you, Dave. Hey, question number 10. We're in drugs. Drugs such as Claritin work by reducing the effects of which natural chemical in the body?
I was going to say dopamine, but...
it's not dopamine. No,
it's not dopamine. Insulin?
Not insulin, no.
Thanks.
Sorry, Joey, no, thank you. Not insulin, no. Hayley and Roselle. Hello, Hayley.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
I had to get up early because there's a soccer match on.
The soccer match is less than 4 1/4 hours.
I went to bed way too early, but Mum's Argentinian and Dad's English, so it's a big match.
You got to get up. You're up way too early.
Well, I went to bed. I fell asleep at like 6:30 because I was exhausted.
Oh, fair enough.
Now I've got the whole evening ahead of me. So
well,
so
you can do a really, but you can do a really dumb thing here, Hayley. You can stay with us until we're finished at 2 a.m. your time, and then you can start off listening to Trev, and then you can start, you fall asleep. Correct. And you wake up at 7 a.m. It's all over.
It's all over. But I have to say, I've got to thank you because I've been listening to you this morning, and I was I am a good friend of James Valentine's wife, and obviously an avid listener of James.
Mm.
And just listening to you this morning, I'm getting a bit of the Jameses through the radio, so it's been really heartwarming.
Oh, good. Marvellous, marvellous broadcaster and colleague, Hayley,
Yeah, and a good human.
a very good human, Yeah, well, good on you. Thank you. Question number 10, drugs such as Claritin work by reducing the effects of which natural chemical in the body?
I know this one because I've got a 19-year-old that lives at home and sneezes every morning, histamine.
Correct. Yes, Claritin works by reducing the effects of the histamines in your body. All righty, question number 11.
Can I go art galleries?
Yeah, of course you can. Go anywhere you like. All right, question number 11, art galleries and museums. Which country is home to Museum Island? It's a group of 5 museums located on the River Spray. Or Spring.
The first thing that came to mind.
Which country?
Yeah, but the River Spree, I don't think, is in this country. I was going to say Japan, but I don't think there's a River Spree in Japan. I'm going to just say Japan, but I don't think that's right.
It's so not right, Hayley. No, that's right.
Damn, it's got to be Europe somewhere.
Thanks, Hayley. See ya. Bye. Thanks. See you later. Heather from Nil. Hello, Heather.
I think Scotland.
It's not Scotland, no. Sorry, no. Sorry, Heather. No, it's not Scotland either. Aidan in Brisbane. Hello, Aidan. G'day, Aidan.
Hello.
Hi. Which country is home to Museum Island, a group of five museums located on the River Spree or Spree?
It is Germany.
Correct. Do you know how to... Is it Spree or Spree? I can't remember.
I think it's Spree, yeah.
Germany is correct, yes. I've been to one of them. And one of them has got that marvellous bust of Nefertiti.
Okay.
Which is a mesmerisingly beautiful object. Question number 12, art galleries and museums, if you like. Or you can move to soft drinks, drugs, Australian wildlife, black and white.
Can I do soft drinks?
Soft drinks it is. Coca-Cola was invented in which US state?
I want to say somewhere in the south. Somewhere in the south, maybe. I don't want to say Texas. Not Texas. Like Atlanta, maybe somewhere like there, somewhere like Mississippi or Atlanta or somewhere over there.
Not Mississippi. Sorry, Dan, no. Not Mississippi. Dane from Dural. Hello, Dane.
Yeah, good morning, mate. How are you?
Pretty good. Coca-Cola was invented in which US state?
Just before I bomb out, I wanted to say hi to Gail, whom I spent a nice night with tonight, and now into my, 50th minute of my 44th year, I just wanted to, say hi. I wish I could have hung around and seen just drugs and wildlife, but I reckon it's probably...
Coca-Cola was invented in which US state, Dane?
I remember it being down south also, maybe in Atlanta.
No, I need a state. Katie. Hello, Katie.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. Coca-Cola was invented in which US state?
Oh, I thought I was finally going to get one right, but I can only guess at Louisiana.
No, it's not Louisiana. Sorry, Katie. Thank you. Bye. Pandora will know this. Hi, Pandora.
How are you going?
The answer is not Pandora, but anyway.
No, it's not. I've heard change. Amazing.
Coca-Cola was invented in which US state?
I know the answer, but can I quickly say something about the temperature thing?
Yeah.
Especially to Joey in Coffs Harbour, because I'm only like 10 kilometres up the road.
Mm.
At the moment, it says it's 12.4 degrees. The feels like is 7.8. I can guarantee it feels cold.
Yeah.
And I'm from the Southern Highlands, and she needs to go outside and stand in the wind and go, it's not nice out here. The wind chill drops the temperature. That's what the feels like is, as he said. Okay.
Yes. thank you, Pandora.
No, I wasn't rude, but I'm not being rude. I didn't mean to be rude, but it's like, it doesn't feel like it's 12.8 degrees when you stand outside in Coffs Harbour at the moment. I'm not wearing shorts.
Thank you, Pandora. Question 12. What do you want to do here? You've got to answer this question. Coca-Cola was invented in which US state?
Georgia.
Yes, correct, Georgia. Everyone will remember the Olympics, of course, the Atlanta Olympics, which Coca-Cola, the company, had a massive involvement in. Atlanta, Georgia. Correct. Question 13. We're in soft drinks, but we can move to drugs, art galleries, black and white, Australian wildlife. We've still got all categories left.
I was going to go to drugs.
Drugs it is. Back to drugs. Diazepam is the generic name for which anti-anxiety medication?
Valium.
Correct. Correct. Valium. Question 14. We're in drugs. We've got one left here. Originally used to treat type 2 diabetes, by what name is the weight loss drug semaglutide more commonly known?
Is it Ozempic?
Correct. Ozempic. Nice work, Pandora. That's three on the trot. And you've eliminated the first category, drugs.
Yay me.
Yay you. Excellent work. Question 15. So you've got soft drinks, art galleries and museums, black and white or Australian wildlife?
Soft drinks.
Soft drinks it is. What flavour is Pasito?
Okay. I'm going to knock off the obvious ones for everybody else. Because I don't think it's right, but passion fruit.
Correct. Yes.
Oh.
Pasito is passion fruit flavoured.
I pulled that from somewhere.
Yeah. morning, Phil. Screaming meanie here. Bit chilly south of Adelaide, he says, sending in a temperature chart. Oh, dear, it is. It is too. At Mount Compass, it's 6.7 degrees at Mount Compass. Which is a bit south of Adelaide. All righty. Question number 16. We're in soft drinks. We've got one left there.
Okay, let's go for soft drinks.
Which Australian soft drink was first launched by Tarax in 1968?
In 1968, a little bit before my time, Tarax. Bundaberg ginger beer?
Not ginger beer. Sorry, Pandora. Thank you. Bye-bye. See you later. Albert's in Townsville. G'day, Albert.
Oh, good night, Phil.
How are you? All right?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah. I'll be cheering to the ponds at 5 o'clock, but doesn't matter who wins it, they're going to have their work cut out this same.
Yeah, I know. Are you going to stay up and watch it, Albert?
No, I hope to wake up at 5 o'clock like I did yesterday morning.
But hang on, the game's at 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
Are you going to get up?
No, I'll just stay in bed and watch it. I've got TV's facing me bed, so I can switch it on.
Oh, well, that's what I meant, though. I don't mean you have to get out of bed. No. Okay, good. Oh, that's good. You've got the TV set up in the bedroom. Excellent, yeah. You'll be barracking for the Poms?
Yeah, cheering for the Poms.
Well, it'll be good to see them in the final, wouldn't it? Because
they won it in '66, 60 years. So
they're a bit like St Kilda. They're a bit like St Kilda, Albert. They've won it once. That's it.
Oh boy, is that all they've won it? Yeah. I got 7 out of 9 on the AFL last week.
Oh, and you're tipping?
Yeah.
Oh gee, how are the Broncos going to go this week, Albert?
I give them a rough chance. I've actually tipped them to beat Penrith, but because if they can't beat them with this, is about the best team they've fielded all season.
They have to win. So
yeah.
Hey, what's going on with the Dolphins, Albert? 62-0. You've got to be kidding!
I couldn't believe it. They had the hammer out, and I think they have one or two others out, but they still had a pretty good team. I've actually picked the Cowboys to beat them because surely they can't improve that much in 1 week.
You wouldn't think so. Question number 16, we're in soft drinks. Which Australian soft drink, Albert, was first launched by Tarax in 1968?
Yeah, I can't remember anything that's been... The only thing that I can think is Australian soft drink was much before that, so I wanted to say it was just Horehound, but I think I'll have to pass it by.
No worries.
I've known a few tonight. But,
On you, Albert. Thanks. Nice chatting anyway. See ya.
Yeah, bye, Phil.
Bye. Ian from Dover in Tassie. G'day, Ian.
Morning.
Morning. You're going to win the cold temperature. Oh, maybe not, actually. Dover's not. Does Dover get that cold? Yeah, it does get cold, yeah.
No, it's quite tropical out there tonight. They promise double figures sometime in the near future.
I was going to say, the word tropical, it applies to down the Huon Valley in the middle of winter.
Somebody bought a banana at the shop.
That's it.
It was tropical.
It was pretty brown all over the skin, tell you. That was tropical. Someone bought a tin of Golden Circle pineapple rings, and that was about it. That was about as tropical as you get. Question 16. Which Australian soft drink was first launched by Tarax in 1968?
I've got very little idea, but I'm going to have a stab at creaming soda.
Oh, yeah, creaming soda. I remember that.
It used to be a lot of good vanilla ice cream.
What a disgusting drink that was.
Guess I'm wrong too.
No, you're wrong as well, yeah. But you just brought back some very bad memories of a really disgusting. Seriously, who could drink that muck? You know, some kids used to buy it at the school tuck shop. I mean, heavens above.
No, didn't they go and buzz around the oval four times?
That's right.
I got like little bee.
Shake it up. They used to shake it up and rip the pool can and just spray it all over you. Yeah. All right, mate. See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Ian from Dover in Tassie. Hey, we're up to question 16. We've got 10 left. We've been on a chat, haven't we? Okay, news now.
News, sport and talk. Ad-free. ABC Local Radio. Download the ABC Listen app and listen wherever you are.
ABC News with David Rollins. The US military has launched a fresh wave of strikes against Iran for the fifth consecutive day. The BBC's Barbara Plett-Usher reports.
This is a pattern that has been intensifying over Iran's insistence that it keep control of the Strait of Hormuz. Tehran now says the waterway will stay closed until the U.S. stops bombing. Its Revolutionary Guards are threatening to expand attacks to include other routes that are used to export oil and gas. President Trump has reimposed a punishing naval blockade, and he's again said he might target Iran's power plants and bridges if it doesn't return to negotiations, which could be considered a war crime.
Meantime, the International Monetary Fund is warning that the world is becoming increasingly exposed to higher oil prices as global reserves dwindle. Kaveh Akbari has the details.
The IMF says emergency stockpiles help shield the global economy from the biggest oil supply shock in more than half a century, but those reserves are now running low. It says reduced consumption in Asia and higher production outside the Gulf also helped offset disruptions caused by the closure of the Strait of Hormuz due to the US and Israel's war against Iran. However, with reserves heavily depleted, the IMF warns further supply disruptions could trigger much sharper price rises and leave the global economy increasingly vulnerable.
Ukraine and the European Union have agreed to establish joint projects to scale up the production of drones. It comes as Russia and Ukraine step up their battle over the Black Sea and key trade routes, with Moscow killing three people in an attack on the Ukrainian port city of Odessa and Kyiv's drone forces striking Russian shipping. Speaking from Kyiv, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen says the projects will combine Ukrainian ingenuity and experience with Europe's industrial capacity.
From the technology and production of the drones to the supply chains needed to sustain the capacity, or crucially to the knowledge on using radar systems, ground stations or sensors. We must tap into this together.
Britain's outgoing Prime Minister Keir Starmer has received a standing ovation from his Labour Party colleagues after his final Prime Minister's questions in Parliament before he stands down as leader. Sir Keir told the House of Commons that this is the end of my political journey, thanking his colleagues and family as he answered his final question. The 63-year-old will formally leave Britain's top job in the coming days, with Andy Burnham to become the country's next Prime Minister. Australia's Minister for Innovation and Science says it's unethical that artificial intelligence models overseas are able to train on Australian music. Artists including Playlunch have found their songs on a massive database collating music that's available to train AI and have told Triple J it amounts to their art being stolen. Minister Tim Ayres says he wants to see AI models train here so it's within Australia's copyright laws.
Copyright is only meaningful when there's a payment involved. Artists have got a right to say yes or no to the way that their content is used. I mean, that's the only way that these protections are meaningful. They're there for a reason. So, no, I don't think it's ethical.
An international team of around 80 scientists and crew will set sail for Greenland to investigate whether the island's rapidly melting glaciers disrupt a major Atlantic Ocean current system and, with it, Europe's climate. The mission departs Britain after the country and Western Europe just experienced the warmest June on record, disrupting power supplies, shutting schools and causing deaths. British Antarctic Survey's Kelly Hogan says the recent heat waves show just how difficult it is to adapt.
Our buildings are not really built for these hot temperatures. The railways are not really built for these hot temperatures. So if that variability is only going to increase, if it's going to move all the rainfall around the UK, or it's going to get even more stormy, we need to convince people that our infrastructure needs adapting.
Older teenagers in Britain will have to switch the settings on social media apps to be able to use them after midnight, after new safeguarding rules planned by the government. A month after it announced plans to introduce a sweeping ban on social media for young people under 16, the government says it also plans a default overnight curfew for young people aged 16 and 17. Affected users would be blocked from using the apps between midnight and 6 a.m. unless they change the default setting. ABC News.
ABC Radio, your local source of national and international news, weather and emergency information. We engage with audiences through both analogue and digital radio services. In times of emergency, all the latest news and information can be heard via your local ABC radio station, online at abc.net.au/radio or via the ABC Listen app, or head to abc.net.au/news for further news and information. ABC Radio, across Australia.
On ABC Radio around Australia, this is Nightlife.
Nightlife with Philip Clark.
Yes, well, hello and how are you? Philip Clark with you on ABC Radio. This is Nightlife. We're into the last hour of the program. Hope you're well. Thank you for joining us. It's 1:06 Eastern Time. It's 11:06 in WA, 24:01 in South Australia and the Northern Territory. Remember, if you're an Armidale, well, you probably know this by now, you might have lost your FM and TV 25 signal. And in Swan Hill and the Murray Valley region, by the way, from 4 to 5 a.m., you'll lose your FM signal. Fortunately, SBS hasn't lost its TV signal, which would be bad, because in less than 4 hours' time, it's kickoff with the England-Argentina game. So if you can stay up, actually, that's a bit mad. Go, wait till the Mighty Challenge is over, then have a sleep, and then wake up, catch the back of Trev, and in you go, all right? It kicks off at 5, England play Argentina. Alrighty, we've got a few things to sort out. First up in a thing we call
the Mighty Challenge,
where we're up to question 16, which Australian soft drink was first launched by Tarix in 1968? Joy's in Logan in Queensland. Hi, Joy. Hi, Joy.
Hello.
Hello.
You can hear me.
Oh, I can hear you loud and clear, yeah.
Have
you ever tasted a can of creaming soda, Joy?
Yeah, I remember creaming soda.
don't tell me you liked it too.
Well, just severe. Oh, yeah, I didn't mind it, but I didn't drink a lot.
was a bit like
sarsaparilla.
It was a bit like sarsaparilla. Right, equally foul. That's true. Ah, oh, dear. Phil in Lithgow says it's minus 3.8 here. Feels like minus 6.4. Ooh, that is a success.
It's all right. I'm in front of a fire.
Good on you, Joy. In front of a nice fire. Very good. Mm. What is it? What's on the fire? Logs?
Oh, yeah. Logs. Yeah,
good, isn't it? Question 16, soft drinks. Which Australian soft drink was first launched by Tarax in 1968?
That's funny. It's given me a memory of when I first came to Australia back in 1970. I had a feeling it was called RC Cola, Royal Crown.
Oh, RC Cola. Oh. Yeah, no, I remember that, but that's not it. No.
Albums.
Thanks, Joy. Keep warm. Bye-bye. That's a nice image, isn't it, sitting there with the front of the log fire? So my texter says, creaming soda made a good spider with a big dollop of ice cream. Oh, yeah. I think anything you put in it would improve it. No, Lee from Strathalbyn, that is not correct. Morris in Launceston. G'day, Morris.
Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Pretty good, yeah.
Questions. I love creaming soda and I love sarsaparilla.
So there you go. Yeah. Question 16, which Australian soft drink was first launched by Tarax in 1968?
I've got no idea. I'm going to have a crack, but I think it's American Dr. Pepper.
Not Dr. Pepper, no. Thanks, Morris. No, not Dr. Pepper. I don't think that's ever really taken off in Australia, has it, Dr. Pepper? That really weird-tasting American soft drink? Darby from Chinchilla in Queensland. G'day, Darby.
How are you, mate?
Pretty good. Question 16. Help us out here. Which Australian soft drink was first launched by Tarax in 1968?
Oh, mate, I originally rang for the Blinky Bill question, but I dropped out. This one, I'm going to have to think. I think back then they called it Pub Squash, but it's referred to as Solo now, I would have thought.
What's your answer?
Back then, Pub Squash.
Your answer's Pub Squash?
Yeah.
Not correct, Darby. No. Oh, dear. A liar in Tamworth. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Elias. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Question 16. Which Australian soft drink was first launched by Tarax in 1968?
Are we after a company or a flavour?
Which Australian soft drink?
I'm going to go Portoletto.
No, not Portoletto. Thanks, Eli. Bye. Thank you. Cameron in South Perth. Come on, Cam.
Yeah, this is an easy one. It was my Coca-Cola and it was Fanta.
No, it wasn't Fanta. No, it wasn't Fanta. Quite a few people on the text line have had Fanta. No, it wasn't. Joni from Preston.
But for our purposes. Oh, hi, Phil. Sorry.
For our purposes. Now, Joni, tell me, which Australian soft drink was first launched by Tarax in 1968?
From context, from a previous attempt at answering the question, is it Solo?
Correct, it is, yes, it is Solo.
Oh, thank God.
Not Pub Squash, it was Solo, yeah. Slam it down, Solo.
You've really been slandering creaming soda as well. I want to stand up for that. Sarsaparilla. Oh,
no.
I've been told by my wife to stand up for sarsaparilla, but for me, it's creaming soda is the one that I feel obliged to defend because I've never met a creaming soda hater.
I've never met a hater.
The
number of people who love creaming soda you got assembled in the back of a Volkswagen, I can tell you.
Really? I just thought everyone liked it. I don't know.
Question 17. Okay, no more soft drinks. So we've got art galleries and museums, black and white, Australian wildlife.
I'm going to go art galleries and museums.
Art galleries and museums. Flagstaff House is a former colonial building in Hong Kong. It's now a museum devoted to which beverage?
In Hong Kong, does it have a connection to Hong Kong in some way? Or, you know what? I'm just going to say Coca-Cola.
Not Coca-Cola, Joni, but thank you. Yeah. Thank you, bye-bye. Not Coca-Cola, no. Okay, where are we? Wendy's on the Sunshine Coast. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Question 17. Flagstaff House is a former colonial building in Hong Kong. It's now a museum devoted to which beverage?
Is it gin?
Not gin, no. Not gin. Chrissy from Warragul in Victoria.
Hello.
Hello.
I had a lovely story to tell you about Tarax.
Oh, yeah.
Dad collected from Astor the whole of his work, all the bottle tops, and there was a competition of how many bottle tops you got, and there was a flight.
You mean because there was a prize under the bottle top?
Yeah. And I got it with Dad, and because he got all the workmates to get them all when they finished drinking, he collected them all for me.
Yeah.
Because I love Tarax, and wonder I've got teeth left.
Yeah.
And I went on a helicopter ride with my cousin all around Melbourne.
Oh, how good is that? Well, because that was you won the prize under the bottle top.
Yeah, from Tarax. So I'll never forget Tarax, but.
Oh, that's great. Oh, gee, that would have been fun. How old were you, Chrissy?
Oh, probably 8.
Oh, wow. That would have been really exciting.
It was so scary getting in because it was on the river on a little pad, you know.
I know the one. I know that. There was a helipad in the Yarra River in the CBD of Melbourne. I got on a helicopter there once years and years and years ago. And you took off. That's right. You took off. And you took off right in the middle of Melbourne. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
If I wasn't with my cousin, who was a boy, I don't think I'd have gone. But because he was a little bit older and I thought, oh, what an exciting thing to do. Yeah.
Question 17. We're in Flagstaff House is a former colonial building in Hong Kong. It's now a museum devoted to which beverage?
Is it beer?
No, it's not beer. See you, Chrissy. Bye-bye. No, it's not beer. Judy from Terang. Hello, Judy.
Hello, Phil.
Help us out here. Flagstaff House is a former colonial building in Hong Kong. It's now a museum devoted to which beverage?
Tea.
Correct, yes, tea. Hong Kong, China, tea. Yes, that's the connection. Yep. Good.
And I love creamy soda.
Oh, stop it, Judy. We're going to have to.
I think you're in the minority, Phil.
Chris in the Southern Water says, Phil, first you don't like Polly waffles. They have to be fairly recently made to be. And now you say you don't like creaming soda drinks. What's the world coming to? I do like most things. I don't mind. Did I say I didn't like Polly waffles? I don't like the stale ones.
No, they weren't much chop.
And they did go a bit stale if you weren't careful.
Not at my place.
No, they didn't last that long. So Chris, I'm defending myself on the Polly waffle. I mean, I think they were a bit boring myself, but anyway. But creaming soda, no, is disgusting. Question number 18. We're in art galleries and museums. You can stay there or you can move to Australian Wildlife or Black and White.
Black and white.
Black and white.
I'd rather red, white and black, but anyway.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, I get what you're saying. Question number 18. Actually, they can't win this year, can they? But saying earlier that St Kilda won in 1966 and now...
Yes, 24th of September, actually. But who's counting?
Who's counting? Exactly. And if England win against, well, they have to get there first. They have to beat Argentina first, and there is no certainty about that. Question number 18. You're staying in black and white?
Yes, please.
Since 2010, a Norwegian man named Magnus Carlsen has been the world number one ranked player of which game? We're in a category called black and white.
Since 2010?
Hmm.
Right. Black and white. What's that, Collingwood? Now.
It's not Collingwood, no.
Yeah.
Post-traumatic stress disorder here, Judy.
Yeah. No, if it wasn't for the black and white, I'd have a guess at a sport, but I just can't work out how the black and white comes into it. Magnus Carlsen. Oh, black and white. It's obviously probably an EPL team. Nottingham. I've got absolutely no idea.
Not Nottingham, no. Thank you. Jim from Seaford. G'day, Jim.
Good morning, Phil.
Morning. Black and white we're in. Since 2010, a Norwegian man named Magnus Carlsen has been the world number one ranked player of which game?
Can I just say that all Polly Waffles were stale?
That's my belief. Well, I agree with you. I think when you're hooked in, they all of them tasted a bit stale.
they were designed to taste that way. I think they manufactured them and then aged them in a warehouse for 12 months before releasing them and failed.
They were aged. Aged in the warehouse. Oh, dear. Yeah, I think I might have said, and I stand by this, I think they were a bit overrated, actually.
I reckon so.
I mean, you know, compared to some other, you know, cracking things you could eat.
Yeah, like scorched peanut bar.
Yeah, well, that's all right. I don't mind that. Cherry ripe, pretty good. All right, question number 18, black and white. Since 2010, a Norwegian man named they were all stale. They were aged. Since 2010, a Norwegian man named Magnus Carlsen has been the world number one ranked player of which game?
Chess.
Correct. Yes, black and white chess pieces. Magnus Carlsen's been the world number one chess player since 2010. Gee, that's a long time, isn't it?
Yep. Question. 64 squares, too. 64. Black and white squares.
Anything else you want to go and tell us about chess, Jim?
That's how I figured it out. Like the pieces, the black and white squares on the board.
Oh yeah. Darbs from Chimchilla says it has to be chess. Could I please give a shout out to an avid nightlife listener, Toddy from Toowoomba? There you go. Hi, Toddy. Hope you're going well. Colin from Albany says backgammon. Well, but backgammon's not necessarily black and white, is it? Doesn't have to be. Robin says, Phil, read the polywaffle. Surely you mean pool floaters. Oh, steady, Robin. Steady. Let's move on. Question 19. We're in black and white. If you like, you can stay. You can move to Australian wildlife or art galleries and museums.
Australian wildlife, please.
Australian wildlife. This is question 19. What is the largest freshwater fish in Australia?
That would have to be the Murray cod.
Correct. The big Murray cod, correct, is the largest freshwater fish. Okay, question number 20. Staying with Australian wildlife, there's one left there.
Yes, please.
Which television series was set in Waratah National Park?
I grew up with this, as did many Aussie kids. Skippy.
Hooray! It was a childhood thing, wasn't it? No one's tried. Am I wrong about this? No one's really tried to redo a TV show about a kangaroo, have they?
I don't think so. I think it'd be a great idea.
Well, these days with animation, you think it'd be a cracking idea, wouldn't it? Yeah.
The success of Bluey and other things.
Yeah. Because quite frankly, Skippy and his was it was all very well, wasn't it, Jim? But I mean.
Yeah,
I think these days you could do a bit better, couldn't you? I mean, you know, they used to make Mr. Ed talk, so surely. Thanks, Skip. Where's the fire, Skip? Okay. Oh, down near the shed. Okay. Who's down there? Oh, he's down there. Oh, dear. Question 21. That's it for Australian wildlife. So all we've got left is a choice of art galleries and museums, which is there's three left there, or black and white. There are two left there. So we've got one, two, three, four, five left.
Let's go back to black and white, please.
Black and white. What was Alfred Hitchcock's last black and white film?
I'm just going to take an educated guess here. The Birds?
Not The Birds. No.
Okay.
No, that was black and white, but no, but that wasn't the last one. Thanks, Jim. See ya. No, not The Birds. Chris from the Sunshine Coast. Hi, Chris.
Happy Wednesday, Phil.
Happy Wednesday, yeah. Well, actually, it's gone, I think, for those on the East Coast, anyway.
Thursday. We're into Thursday. Sorry, mate.
That's right. Yeah, actually, you're on the East Coast too. What are you doing? Chris.
Wake up and go
Chris,
back to sleep.
Chris, give yourself an uppercut.
If Argentina win,
yes,
we're going to have a team from the Southern Hemisphere playing a team from the Northern Hemisphere,
mm-hmm.
both speaking Spanish.
I know. Both speaking Spanish. Although one would speak Spanish, you know, when they say
zapata.
And the Latinos will speak Latino Spanish when they don't do that.
I haven't picked that up. I haven't been to the south of America.
Oh, that's kidding. I mean, I'm drilling down into sort of, you know, stupid detail.
Creaming soda, two different colours of it.
Oh, no, not.
You liked neither.
It gets
worse.
There
was a red colour.
Oh, no.
And there was a yellowy colour.
Oh, no.
And there was a third drink called candy, and you might as well inject sugar into your veins. It was so rich. Candy with a K. Never had it?
I never understood creaming soda. No one could ever explain to me what flavour it was.
Yes, it was, sugar. And and I suppose some sort of a raspberry.
But it had some sort of chemical in it. Was it raspberry? I don't remember. Can someone explain what creaming soda tasted like? I mean, I get sarsaparilla. It tasted of licorice. I get that.
Do you know where sarsaparilla comes from? Sarsaparilla plant.
The sarsaparilla.
In South America.
That's right, the sarsaparilla
plant. It's a root.
Yeah, it's a
root. Root beer in America, and you're not allowed to bring the plant into Australia.
Why is that?
Because it'd become a weed.
Is that right?
Yeah. Bundaberg in Queensland imports the root somehow, and they're the only company in Australia that make it from the root. The rest is from a cordial.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
There you go. Trivia all day.
Go on, Chris. You're a mine of information. You're a mine of information here.
Bundaberg. Well,
next thing you know, that you'll be saying that the Bundy, you know, import the ginger from the Cocos Keeling Islands or something.
Oh, I don't think so. No, we grow it here in Queensland, ginger, Budrum ginger.
Yeah. Very good drink, I must say. Chris, I went through a whole period of being quite addicted to it. Anyway, go on.
No, I've got to answer this question badly.
What was Alfred Hitchcock's last black and white film?
I'll go Virgo.
No.
See you. Have a great night.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for this ask. See you. Bye-bye. Thanks for that. Peter from Wantirna. G'day, Peter.
Oh, g'day, Dr. Phil.
Hello.
Lovely to hear from you.
Well, no, yes, likewise. Question 21, we're in black and white. What was Alfred Hitchcock's last black and white film?
Just before that, can I mention Terex? Because I had a suspicion that it was something dear to my heart. Terex Bitter, which was an extremely low alcohol beer.
Oh, really?
Yes, you'd buy it in stubbies. Grandpa and I used to have it listening to the footy on the wireless with a pie.
Oh, that's great. Like they evict, or like all those people in Dickens novels drank small beer, which was basically very low alcohol beer. Yeah. Question 21, black and white. What was Alfred Hitchcock's last black and white film?
Can I have a go at Room with a View?
No, not Room with a View. Sorry, Peter, not Room with a View. Joe from Ridgehaven. There are lines free if you want to grab one, 1-300-800-222. Yes, Joe?
Yeah, would it be Psycho?
Yes, it is. It is Psycho. Remember the shower scene? Oh, never take a shower in a motel on your own, Joe.
No,
if you're in a motel overnight, just, you know, like lock the door, get into bed with your fully clothed, and get out of there at first light.
Yep.
Joe, we've got four left. We've got one in black and white, and we've got three in art galleries and museums. Alison from Preston. No, not Alison. Who is it? Oh, Mick in Perth says creaming soda is good. The supposed flavour is vanilla. Is that right? Okay. Joe?
I'll stick with black and white.
Okay, black and white it is. Last one in black and white. Skipper, Kowalski, Private and Rico are a crafty cadre of penguins from which animated film series?
Madagascar.
Correct, Madagascar. Excellent work. Three left, and they're all in art galleries and museums. Question 23. The Spanish town of Figueres is home to a museum dedicated to which surrealist artist?
Salvador Dali.
Correct, Salvador Dali. Very good, Joe. Motoring home. Question number 24. Art galleries and museums. Gympie is home to a museum dedicated entirely to which parts of the body?
Would it be feet?
No, Joe, but it's, yeah, not that far away. Paul from Ballerine. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Gympie is home to a museum dedicated entirely to which parts of the body?
Legs?
Not leg. Well, that too. Thank you, Paul. That too, but that in itself is not going to do it. Well, Gympie's home to a museum dedicated entirely to which parts of the body? I hope this question's been phrased correctly. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Anybody know the answer to this? Because no one appears to. No one appears to. Give me a call. 1-300-800-222. Lisa in Lewisham says, what about Passiona? Yeah, no, that was good. Bridget from Linwood says, we needed to drop the presumptive he when referring to Skippy, because after all, Skippy had a pouch. Oh, yeah, well, that's true. That's true. Did I say? I probably did say he. Paul from Yass says, creaming soda was a temperance drink developed by a Golden Circle in Australia, and our version in Australia had a raspberry flavour. Oh, a lot of people are saying it was vanilla. 1-300-800-222. Vicky from Maddington had, no, not, well, not really, Vicky, no. Vicky says joints, no. Morgan's correct, yes. Anybody know the answer? Anybody been to Gympie and seen this museum? Gympie's home to a museum dedicated entirely to which parts of the body? Annette from Perth, correct. Angela from Tamworth says ankles, no. Brett from Texas. Brett, have you been there? Hi, Brett.
Yes, how are you, Phil?
Pretty good, yeah.
Mate, would it be toes?
No. I mean, yes, but no. I want more, if you know what I mean, Brett.
So nails.
Okay. No. I want more than that. All righty, what's happening in the great state of Texas, Brett?
It's cold here too, about 3 degrees tonight.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. Thanks, stay warm. See you. Bye. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Chris, the retired trucker from Port Lincoln, says they can't make an up-to-date Skippy, as with the new generation helicopters, it'd cost a fortune to train a kangaroo how to fly. How would you go, Skip? Aaron from North Queensland. Hi, Aaron.
How are you, mate?
Pretty good. Have you been to this museum at Gympie?
I haven't, but I've been to Gympie many, many times.
Gympie's home to a museum dedicated entirely to which parts of the body?
Skeleton.
Correct. Skeletons, yeah. It's a skeleton museum. Okay, phew. Well, it's taken us a while, but we've had some fun on the way. And we are, well, you are, Aaron, on the brink. Yes. Aaron, question 25. We're in art galleries and museums. Which WA town is home to a museum which holds parts of the space station Skylab?
I've never been to WA, mate. I don't know much of WA. I have heard on the radio that there's a town or a city over there that is renowned for viewing the night sky. There's no lights around.
Yep. No, that's not going to help us. Thanks, mate. See ya. Bye-bye. Thank you. Well, Kim's from Bunbury, so Kim will know. Hello, Kim.
Hello. How you going?
Pretty good. Hey. Which WA town's home to a museum holding parts of the space station Skylab?
Oh, that's Canalvis.
No, it's not. Sorry. No, it's not. No, it's not. Michael's in Perth. Michael's not that far away either. Hi, Michael.
Yeah, hi there, still.
Which WA town's home to the museum holding parts of the space station Skylab?
There's a dish there. I just can't quite think of the name, but I'll guess Northampton.
No, it's not Northampton. No, it's not. No. Paul is on hand. G'day, Paul.
Yeah, Bill, I know where it is.
Yeah.
I'm sort of scared to answer because I don't want a magnet and I don't like the
wind bin.
But
go on.
It's from my town.
Where is it?
It's from my town.
Which is?
Which is Esperance.
Right? Esperance, yeah.
Who do you want to give the magnet to, Phil?
You know what? You talked to Dave about it, Paul.
Well, who do you reckon deserves it?
Oh, no, there's no deserve, Paul. You deserve it. All right.
I don't deserve it. I only ring up when there's...
when there's things about Esperance.
I ring up many other things, but one question a year I get right.
On you, Paul. I'll tell you what, mate, I'll put you on hold. Dave will get some details from you and you can decide what you want to do. Thank you for that. Yes, Matt from Narangin had... no, it's not Carnarvon. No, it's Esperance. Grant from Gavin in WA had Esperance. There are three distinct types of creaming soda. It gets worse. There's golden brown, which is sweet vanilla, red, which is raspberry, and there's green. Ugh. It gets more disgusting. Elspeth says, the bloke we rang from Texas. I thought he was from Texas. No, he's in Queensland, not Texas in Queensland. Oh, okay. Pretty cold. Okay, fair enough. Sue from Elwood says the Gympie Bone Museum is closed. Okay, permanently, she says. We did not know that. All right, thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.